Today on Windows Wednesday, I want to talk about the radical difference between the Windows philosophy of out-of-the-box experience versus Linux, utilizing a Windows Central article talking about 14 defaults that are worth changing in Windows 11. Thanks for checking out this video by Switch Linux. If you like this type of content, subscribe to the channel if you've not already done so. Leave us a like and a comment down below. And I did want to talk about this. I read this article and it was excellent because most of the points they mention here, there's a few that are a little different, but most of these points that this article mentions are things that illustrate a deep underlying philosophy that Linux gives you user control. Microsoft is creating its Windows platform in order to upsell you things and to push you into its own ecosystem. Basically, it sees every single user as a widget to be monetized. And we're going to talk about that as we compare these 14 things to Linux. Let's go ahead and jump in. The article from Morio, is it Hakluik, I think, is how I'd pronounce that. And 14 defaults that are worth changing. So Windows 11 feels modern, but many out-of-the-box settings push services, tracking, and clutter. And that is really an important thing to a good summary, the title itself. So he's going to talk here about a whole bunch of settings that are a little bit frustrating. So first is when you go into the Windows Start menu and you open this up and you start typing something, it starts searching the internet for stuff. Like, you know, if I wanted to search the internet, I would have, I don't know, opened a web browser. But Windows wants to do that. Of course, searching everything through their own Bing search engine so that they can tell their investors how many millions of searches go through Bing. Well, how many of those would those gone through if you allowed people to choose where that search comes from? Do we smell a monopoly? On Linux distributions, there is many distributions like the desktop environments themselves will have a search feature, which will search either for applications and in some instances, documents on the system, of which you can easily turn those off. Now, you can turn off the search function here, and they walk through this. You can always disable it, going to settings, privacy and security, search and turn off show search highlights. The default, though, does search all of your everything on your computer and the internet as well. And that's really one of those things is that Linux really just, it's a local based system first for the most part. Second is start menu recommendations and promotions. And this one here, the start menu is supposed to be fast, distraction-free launcher. Instead, the recommended section introduces a lot of layers of content that mixes genuinely useful items with suggestions and promotions. Now, there's actually a comment at the bottom. We're not going to go through and read them all. There's only four comments on this. One of those, the guy says, I have never seen these Windows ads everyone keeps talking about. Guys, in the very, 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 very few times I have used Windows, I am seeing these. Don't tell me you haven't. If you're not seeing them, it's because you are 100% buying into the Microsoft ecosystem or you are training yourself into thinking they're not what they are. They are here. Everything from finish setting up OneDrive or try out Game Pass now. Now, these are not ads in the sense of Google ads, Facebook ads, you know, promoting weird other products. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the operating system promoting other features of the company that created the operating system. They call them recommendations. A recommendation is an ad, folks. It is an ad. So yes, and he does say in the comment that the weather channel, that like the weather app in Microsoft is one of the only native apps that has legitimate ads in it. Like third party company ads are in that weather app in Microsoft. The rest of them are various things. They are thrown into pop-up notifications, full screen overlays that we'll talk about here in a moment. Start menu things, even in the File Explorer has these, but there are all of these recommendations and promotions that some, you know, you pull up your menu, you expect to see the things you have installed in your computer. You don't pull up your menu expecting to find something that you don't have installed that they're hoping you click on so it goes to install or some other thing. And on Linux, I don't know of a single distribution that does that. Nothing out there is like, hey, here's a promo trial. Go ahead and do that. I'm sure there might be one out there, so let me know in the comments. Now, again, you can turn these off. Settings, personalization, start, and take the show recommendations for tips and shortcuts and new apps and more. Toggle and turn that guy off. All right, diagnostics, data, and tracking. This is the one that pushed me into Linux. I saw that what Windows 10 was doing, they were doing a base level of data collection, sending it back to Microsoft, and there was no way to turn it off. That was my line. You cross my line, I am not going back. I have never used Windows 10 in production or anything greater than that. I kept my Windows 7 system for a little bit while I transitioned to Linux, and I have been 100% full-time Linux for, I think, over 6 years and over a decade of doing Linux under a number of different circumstances with a hybrid operating system approach. But the fact that they have all this diagnostic and tracking data, and this is the most hilarious thing to me. They're like, this is to make a more reliable system. Dude, you're late. Every update in a long time has bricked something. The latest update from April, by the way, this is a warning to you if you are on Windows. The latest update in some BitLocker configurations is causing your system, or is it? Yeah, it's BitLocker. Is causing your system to go into recovery mode. So before you install any updates related to the latest April patch updates for Windows updates, make sure you know what that decryption key is. You might need it. Okay, stop telling me this is to make a more reliable system when, like, Arch Linux, which is known for unreliability, has been infinitely more reliable than Windows for the last 5 years at least. All right, this is crazy. The entire concept. This is just so that we can have a better system. Where is this mysterious unicorn of a better system? It doesn't exist. Okay. They're collecting data for other reasons. All right. Of course, you cannot turn that off. You can turn off, like, the big ones, but you cannot turn off all data collection entirely, not on the computer anyway. You'd have to go into a network security. Now, I think you can turn it all off entirely if you are on an enterprise utilizing a group policy. But you can turn off the optional diagnostics, but you cannot turn off diagnostics entirely. All right, so the next one here is unnecessary prompts. These are, guess what? More ads and recommendations. After your system updates or restarts, Windows 11 may display full screen. Let's finish setting up your device. No, I finished setting up my device. I don't want your crap. Linux doesn't do this. Once you go through your setup screens on Linux, it's not going to keep on promoting more products and services. It's not going to do that. I'm just seeing if there's anything I missed on that. Linux generally doesn't collect data. All right. You restart your system because, you know, you had to because it forced an update on you you didn't want. It updated the system. Hey, we just noticed you don't have OneDrive. I don't want OneDrive. If I wanted OneDrive, maybe I would have set it up on the out-of-box experience. Hey, Windows Hello helps you sign in quickly. Yeah, at the cost of my biometrics. No thank you, Mr. Windows. Achieve more with a Microsoft 365 subscription. I didn't set it up. I don't want your crap. Link your phone and your PC. No, if I wanted to do that, I'd have done it already. Keep your files secure in the cloud. We want to poke through them. We want to see what's in your computer. I don't want to link my files to the cloud. Enhance your web browsing experience. Restore Microsoft recommended browser settings. I turned them off because they were dystopian. All right, so there you can continue with finishing setting up device, or you can remind me in 3 days. You people choose to use this operating system? It's like a nagging toddler. Mommy, 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 mommy. It's kind of crazy. Linux doesn't do this, all right? Once you set it up, like there could be things you might want to change, and you might have to look up how to change it later, because it's like, okay, you set it up. We don't care. You find out how to change it later. Oh, okay, yeah, we can do that. We can go ahead and change that for you now. But you're not getting prompts and nags to finish using more services you chose not to set up already. Mommy. All right. The taskbar has unnecessary clutter. Hey, man, you look like GNOME has no taskbar at all. Take that. Taskbars can get a little bit cluttered up. Even on Linux, we have a little taskbar down here. Now, I can choose to easily add or remove anything to it that I want. This is mileage is going to vary based on your desktop environment, which is what is going to set up your GUI. But out of the box, they enable several taskbar features, including widgets and Copilot. Each of these tools can be useful in specific scenarios, but having them all pinned clutters the experience unnecessarily. So these are, I guess there's a question here about, are we talking about like the taskbar? Are we talking about the panel? What are we talking about? Are we talking about quick launch stuff? Because there's some questions about this one here. So obviously kind of what I'm referring to here, let me go ahead and show you my screen really briefly here. What I'm kind of referring to is down here, I have these over here. I can see OBS is recording. I can see that there's some updates available for the computer. I can see I'm connected to the network. I can see I have volume. This is the devices. So my keyboard has decent, and here's of course my clock. Now over here I have what application windows are open, OBS and Firefox, and I have some quick launch buttons over here. So Microsoft, I guess, thinks that's too complicated and dumbs everything all down and gives you kind of all those little tiny things that I don't know. But whatever the circumstance happens to be, they add a lot of extra things. That's kind of easy. You can just go down there and unpin various items from it. You can add things. You can remove things. No big deal. Linux also provides a similar amount of flexibility, and sometimes Linux will pin things you never need. Very simple, just the same. These ones are very similar. Kind of what I was getting to with the taskbar is generally been what was classically on that lower right corner, which gives you more of a system feedback type stuff. Which, do they have that on Windows? I don't know. Like, how do I know if I'm connected to the network? All this kind of stuff. Can you turn that on or off? I have no idea. I haven't looked at Windows 11 that closely to see what all's over there. But again, some of those, most Linux distros, you can completely customize that. Some it's a little bit easier or harder depending on which one you're doing. But there's that. Let's talk, of course, the Microsoft account requirement. Hey, get more with the Microsoft account. Besides, we want to verify every person. Pretty soon, we're going to start asking you your age and asking you to upload an ID and take a biometric of your face so we can verify who is on our system. No, I'm not particularly interested in that. Of course, they are removing several of the workarounds. There are still a couple out there. They've removed most of these. Of course, you can still set it up with some throwaway account and then go in and add the local account, which even that I'm going to reject because I do not want Microsoft the privilege of even thinking they successfully got somebody to set up an account. I want to move around those workarounds. On Linux, I do not know of a single distribution that requires you to create an account on setup. There are some systems with accounts that can be utilized. Things with like an Enterprise Red Hat account or the Ubuntu Pro accounts. You can use those to log in if you have those accounts, but there is never any form of requirement to add those. In fact, I don't even know if you can actually create those types of accounts on the startup, but if you have them, you can log in with them. So if you are sick of these internet-focused accounts wanting to know your biometrics and your phone number and everything else about you, just go back to Linux where everything's just pure local. We have pre-installed apps and promotional shortcuts. Again, this is kind of split. There's, you know, talking about pre-installed apps first. One person's amazing treasure is another person's bloatware. I'm a nerd. I love character maps. So I love it when my Linux distro comes with a character map. But some people say, I never use that crappy bloat. I don't even know what it's there for. So this is kind of a matter of preference for sure. When we get to promotional shortcuts, why, oh, why, Microsoft, are you giving me promotional shortcuts? Show me just what is installed on the system, and hopefully in a way that is organized, that is easy to flip through. Back in the days of Windows 95 and 98 and XP and NT and Lord, even Windows Millennium, you could completely configure that start menu any way you want it. You could organize the applications and you could have a nice, clean, perfect type menu. With Windows Vista and Windows 7, they made a couple tweaks. I could still do a lot of modifications, but a couple of them I couldn't do. And then, of course, with Windows 10, we just get this giant list of nonsense. With Windows 11, it's just like AI. You use this more, so we're going to move this icon up here and all this. And it's very difficult to find the things you want that you're not using all. And then you go search for the thing, and you get web results for it. What is this nonsense? Just give me the applications. Give me an easy list of the applications I have installed. That's too much. They want to give you things that are not even installed on your computer. If you accidentally clicked on it. Oh, I didn't know I installed that. Click. Hey, thanks for clicking our link. Sign up for your amazing stuff right now. Link this to your Microsoft account. We'll only charge your online credit card $2.99 a month. No, not interested. Thank you very little. But again, like the promotional stuff, yeah, that's utter nonsense. Pre-installed apps, that really is a matter of preference, so we can't call that out. Some distributions like Debian will add some games. I always uninstall them because I don't sit there on my computer and play games. But different distributions take a different approach. Some of them list themselves as minimal, that will have almost nothing installed and let you install every little tool you want. Some of them feel like more complete distributions with a lot of tools out of the box, so that you might have to delete some things. So that really is a matter of personal preference. All right, 8, automatic updates and forced restarts. This is a pain point. Some people have complained about this to the point where Microsoft is starting to respond and giving you a few more options to postpone updates a little bit longer than you have in the past. But many people have found that they're in the middle of a project. They forgot to click save. They go take a shower. They come back and their computer has restarted itself after doing an upgrade because they weren't touching their keyboard for 5 minutes. The system's like, hey, let's install the update and reboot. And then there goes all the work that you forgot to save. So yeah, maybe shame on you for not saving your work, but shame on Microsoft for updating your computer without your knowledge or consent. Or I don't know, maybe Microsoft is so smart. Maybe they can say, hey, there's an application that's been worked on for like 20 minutes here that nobody's ever saved. Let's save the application. Of course, we are being programmed to not even know that we need to save things because everything is syncing automatically to the cloud where it's auto-magically saved. All right. So there's that. Now, on Linux, there are some distros, primarily desktop environments like Modern Plasma and Modern GNOME. You can set them to automatically update. You can set them to update on a restart. You can set them to update now. You still have full control, although some of them are moving towards defaults that will automatically do some level of updates in the background. I think what most of the defaults are now is it will download updates in the background. And then when you go to shut it down, you'll get the prompt like when Windows, hey, there's some updates. Would you like to install these updates? Now, the good thing on Linux is you can always say, no, don't install the updates, just shut down. And that way you have the option, a lot more control over your system, whereas Microsoft's like, nope, there's an update, we're updating it, we're installing it. But no, it'll break my Veracrypt or BitLocker, whatever we're using. Don't care. I hope you find your access keys. We're installing. Oh boy. All right, BitLocker device encryption with Cloud Key Backup. This is one I've talked about a lot. If your device is locked by BitLocker, and most people don't even know, but this is the default for Windows. It will set it up. Now, I think they have fixed this a little bit. They've gotten to the point where they give you a warning first, but many people do not know their disk is encrypted. They don't know what it means that their disk is encrypted. They do not know that they need to save their decryption key. Microsoft will be like, that's great. We'll just go ahead and throw it in the cloud. Well, that also means that if some person comes by with some crazy non-judicial geofence warrant and wants to know what all's in there, it's theoretically possible for Microsoft to give them the access to unlock your hard drive without your passkey. Yeah, that's a thing. Automatically encrypting your device, while I completely stand behind disk encryption, I do not like the Microsoft approach where it's kind of forcing disk encryption on everybody. A, not everybody needs disk encryption, but B, not everybody knows what that means and how to access it and ways to access it if something were to go wrong. Like, if you are unaware of what this means, if you are on Windows 11, 9 times out of 10, your disk is encrypted whether you know it or not. Now, you don't know it's encrypted because the passkey is stored in the TPM module on your computer, which is why Windows 10 required the TPM 2.0 module. That will decrypt your system. But if there is an error in that module, or like the current update breaks the configuration of that module, what ends up happening is you cannot get into your system without manually entering that passkey. And if you don't know what that is or where that is, you cannot get into your system, period. Done. You've lost everything. I hope you have a recent backup, like maybe from this morning, because that's kind of crazy. And then, of course, they store those decryption keys by default in your Microsoft account, so if you can still get into there. But since most people, Microsoft is turning on passkeys and storing those passkeys, guess where? The TPM module. If that goes bad, you can't access your Microsoft account either. And if you think you're just going to get a hold of Microsoft customer support and gain access to anything, you have another thing coming. You are not going to. The recommended advice from people is start with a new account. Just nuke it and start with a new account, which is kind of sad for your device that is now locked with your entire family vacation on there, that you don't have a backup and you have no idea how to get it. And you will not hear from any human at Microsoft. They have handed everything over to bots and robots, and they will run you in an endless circle of nonsense. All so they can encrypt your computer without your knowledge or consent and store the key on your account, but you can't access your account. Good luck with that. By the way, Linux doesn't do that. You have options to encrypt. They're all very clear. You know that you're entering a passkey. You know that you need to save that. There are also means to utilize that TPM 2.0 module on some Linux distributions if you want that simplicity, but you still always need to have that backup key. All right. This is find my device and location tracking. So this is by default, Microsoft, since you have a Microsoft account, will always be pinging the location of your device so you can easily find your device, and Microsoft can easily find your device, and the people seeking a geofence warrant can easily find your device and probably find you on the other end of it. By default, it turns all this kind of stuff on so that it follows you around the internet, around the world, wherever you're going in your physical actual geography, your physical actual location. Once again, you can turn all this kind of stuff off, but the default is turned on. I do not know of a Linux distribution that has this type of location tracking, although I will say that there are some modules inside of Nextcloud that you can install to mimic this type of feature if you find it useful. File Explorer hides file extensions. This is something they started doing about 15 or 20 years ago, and it's a huge, huge problem. Because basically the file extensions, if you're unaware, file extensions are there's usually dot and then 3 or 4 characters after that that tells you the extension name. So like a Microsoft Office Word document is a .docx file, D-O-C-X. And any .docx file, when you open it up, knows we're going to pipe this program through Microsoft Word. And so it opens this guy up, and that's nice and easy. Well, Microsoft about 20 years ago is like, you know, this is kind of cluttery to see all these files. Let's just go ahead and hide those by default. And so you don't see those extensions many times. You recognize it based on the icon it is. The problem is scammers got into this pretty quickly, and they started doing they started doing like some file .pdf, and now you're like, oh, this is a PDF file. No, it's .file.pdf.exe, and you don't know it, but when you click that file, you think you're opening a PDF. Nope, you're opening an executable program, which is probably installing malware on your system. So you'd have to go through, and there is some settings you can go through that you can turn on file extensions of known extension types, and you should always do that on your computer so you always know what type of file it is. But it looks all cluttery. Stop being an infant. This is about security. Linux, I don't even know if Linux allows you to hide those or not. I really don't know. They certainly don't do it by default. I don't know. You guys, let me know in the comments, guys. Can Linux hide the extensions of known file types? I don't know if it does. I have never investigated it because I've always turned that crap off. So they do have the instructions here about how to turn that back on. Context menus. This is an interesting one here. So the context menu is supposed to be an easy help menu that's relevant to the specific application, specific window, specific something. But they have expanded this to include a pile of unnecessary things. And then there's always the show more options. So what this picture here has, you can open with. That's great. There's also send to my phone, even if you don't have a phone attached, share with somebody, which will open up an email program, add to favorites, so link this in so you can easily find it by a favorite tag, compress to, that's useful, that allows you to highlight multiple files, right click and compress to, and then that will make a zip file of them, copy as a path, properties of the file, and then we have ask in Copilot, edit in Notepad, edit Notepad++, OneDrive, and then there's a bunch of show more. The problem here is that the context menu should be very simple. It should be small, highly relevant to what it is. There's a lot of unnecessary things here. Now, you can get to this still on Windows by holding the shift key and right clicking. That will give you a better context menu. So you can see shift and right click will give you the context menu. Let me kind of show you a little bit here about what I am talking about here. If you're unaware of this, let me go back over here. If I right click on this, you see that here is a context menu relevant to Firefox here. I can save page ads, save to pocket, which I thought I had disabled on this thing. I thought the web browser was too new to not have it, but maybe not. I can take a screenshot, view page source. So you can see how small it is. And then these two down here are added by add-ons, text marker and block the element from uBlock Origin. So a very small, very tight item here. Now on my desktop, if I right click, I can do create new folder. I can create a new document, and I have a number of different document types here. I can create a new launcher here, add desklets, change background, display settings. So everything here is relevant. Now in modern, I don't remember if this particular version of Cinnamon that I'm running on this computer has it, but you can actually modify your context menu now in Linux Mint. Some Linux distributions allows you to modify that menu. Some of them do not. So it really does depend on your desktop environment in that case, and even in some cases, the version of your desktop environment. So the latest Cinnamon does allow you to modify those, add a lot of neat features, which will add some more contextual things based on different applications and things like that. But the context menu on Windows has become bloated, just like everything else on Windows has become bloated. You know, ask Copilot about this file. No, like, why? Here's your system-wide advertisements and service promotions. We've already spent enough time talking about this, so I'm not going to mention it again. And last one is, yes, Edge wastes resources even if you never use it. So by default, Windows, of course, wants you to use Microsoft Edge because, you know, Edge is the best web browser to download a better browser, just to tell you. All right, but so that it doesn't feel slow. People are like, oh, look how fast Edge is compared to Google Chrome. Well, you know, Google Chrome would also be just that fast if they were preloading all of the things needed to launch Google Chrome in the background when you started your computer. But that's what they do with Edge. So even if you do not use Microsoft Edge, it is wasting resources by preloading a lot of things in Microsoft Edge in the background, waiting for you to click that button so it opens instantly. Wow, look how fast it is. It ain't actually that fast. It just happens to be that Microsoft is wasting your system resources by preloading an application you probably never use. Okay. Once again, you can turn that feature off, and you can go into Microsoft Edge, Settings, System and Performance, System, and turn off Startup Boost. Now, of course, Linux, I do not know of any browser in Linux that preloads in the background. Although, hey, you can write a script to do that. You can add the browser to the auto startup tab. You can add a flag to it that starts it up in a minimized version. You can do stuff like that if you wanted to. But, you know, you would probably do it with a browser you're intending to use. So that was actually a very good list of articles here on or list of tips here on Windows Central about Windows. And I thought it was a really good article to look at the crazy things Microsoft is doing comparing to how Linux is. And if like Linux is a breath of fresh air, you should try it out if you've not already done it. So let me know your thoughts about all those in the comments down below. What is of these 14 points? What is the one that is most frustrating to you? Let me know that in the comments. Thanks for watching, and I hope that you enjoy switching to Linux.